Amen, amen. How's everybody doing? All right, we're going to pray and get right into the lesson. Father, we just thank you, Lord God, for the apostolic government that we're under. And we thank you for our apostle, and we thank you, Lord God, for the anointing that's on his life, Lord God, and the impartation. We just give you all the praise and all the glory for what you're doing by your spirit. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right, turn with me in your Bibles to Romans chapter 13, verse 7. Romans 13 and verse 7. It says in Romans 13 and verse 7, it says, "Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom is due, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law." Now, if you turn in your books around page 13, I want to just kind of give you a pinpoint where we're going to be studying from today. The first passage in verse 7 says to render to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due. And in verse on page 12 in your books, it talks about tribute. Tribute means honoring the laws of the land. Different countries have different laws and regulations. In the United States, you have tax. You know, certain countries have tariffs. You know, when you honor or you give tribute, you're actually honoring the laws that govern that land. You know, anytime you go into a country, you have to honor the government, the laws that are set up by the country. Whenever you are ministering or doing any type of ministry, if you don't honor the law that's governing that country, your ministry is going to actually be decreased because people are not going to receive you because you're not honoring the laws that's in their land. Then it says, number two, it says, give custom to whom custom is due. Custom means that you have to honor the people and their customs. We're just looking at different aspects of honor, how honor is so important. Custom has to do with the way the people in that particular country do things, what's customary, things that they do that's been established in that country for years. Give you an example. If you go to Saudi Arabia, a lot of women in America probably couldn't make it in Saudi Arabia because you have to walk behind your husband and you have to walk with your head covered. And that's the custom. I had a cousin who worked in Saudi Arabia for several years. And as long as they were on an American compound, women could wear pants and you know, whatever, you know, you do in America. But the minute you went into off the compound, they had to wear traditional type Saudi garb for women, and head had to be covered up, and they had to walk behind their husband. That's a custom. But if you disrespect or dishonor a country's customs, you know, they're not going to receive the word of God. They're not going to receive you. So your ministry and your anointing of you being effective dwindles. So that's what it means. Give custom to whom custom is due. I never forget, several years ago, Apostle went to, I think it was South America, and I never forget, Bishop Robinson actually went a week or so, I think at least a week before, just to kind of check out the lay of the land so that when the apostle would get there, everything that he needed to do, customary, you know, when you go into a country, you have to go through what is known as customs, you know, and there's certain things they may not allow you to bring in that country, you know, so you have to honor. And what the author is getting us to understand is, you know, even in the natural, there's certain things that has to be done in order for you to be received properly. I'm trying to think, should I even share this? But it's a true fact. There was a missionary, I read a book years ago, a missionary and his wife that was doing missionary work somewhere in Africa. And they had different customs. And I might have even shared this already. But yeah, they were in their tent having a relationship. I don't have to go there. But somebody went in, didn't know that they were having a relationship, saw them doing something that wasn't customary to that country, which was taboo, okay? And they dragged them out and had them killed, you know, but that's a custom, you know. Some people have their customs, and it's almost like it's sacred. So whenever you, in order to the scripture saying to give honor to whom honor is due, you know, custom to whom custom is due, tribute to whom tribute is due. Then it goes on and it says, and to give fear to whom fear is due. That word fear doesn't mean a scary type of fear or being fearful, but it's a reverential fear. Reverential fear means that you respect and you honor someone because of their position or their prestige, you know, or the level that they have been elevated in society and or ministry. You know, when the apostle comes in the room, we reverence him by standing up. You know, it has nothing to do with being scared, but it has everything to do with respect and honor because of the gift that God has in our midst. That's a reverential fear. You know, as a kid, I had a reverential fear of my dad, because when I did wrong, I knew I was going to be reprimanded for it, punished, whipped, and whatever it took, I wasn't going to do it anymore. So there was always that reverential fear, you know, of a respect, you know, and when you have that kind of respect, you walk in honor. Because see, one of the things I've learned over the years is that when you honor properly, by showing your respect and your loyalty, and I never forget this one illustration. This little boy was catching a whipping, and they told him to go sit down, but he wanted to stand up. And he said, and the caption says, I might be sitting down, but in my heart I'm standing up. In other words, he was being obedient, but I didn't really want to do it, you know. But when you walk in true honor, you do it because you want to do it. It's a desire, because what you want is you want what's on the man of God, what's on your pastor, what's on whoever that you're following to come upon you. There's a scripture in Hebrews. Let's go to it right quick. Hebrews chapter 7. I don't think I've shared this scripture yet in class. Hebrews chapter 7:7. It says, without all contradiction, the less is blessed of the better. In other words, you're blessed when you honor the better by sowing in, by honoring something that's greater than you. You're blessed because you being the less, you honor or you sow into the better, so that what's on the better can come down to you, and you can walk in the blessing. You know, that's why that scripture says, without all contradiction. In other words, you can't deny this. The less is always blessed because of the better. Amen? Amen. All right. Then it says to give honor to whom honor is due. In other words, we have to now honor the anointing that's in the land. And that's so very important that we honor the anointing that's in the land. God will place an anointing in a land or region, a state, you know, a country, to meet the demands or to meet the needs of the people in that region. You know, here we have an apostle God has placed an apostolic anointing on, and a financial anointing on, and a prophetic anointing on, and it's to meet the needs of each and every person who receives properly and honors that anointing and respects that anointing. Because one of the things an apostle wants us to do, he wants us to walk in the same blessing that God has blessed him with, because it's available to all of us. Back in 2008, I think it was, I remember the apostle made a statement about a recession was coming, and that, you know, but it wasn't going to affect the members of the church that's connected and that was following close, you know. A lot of people lost a lot of money, 2008, 2009. My wife and I went to a financial planner 2-3 weeks ago, and because I'm in the process of getting ready to retire, and she was looking at our portfolio, and she said, she was amazed. She said, in 2008, just about everybody lost money. She said, but I'm looking at your portfolio and your finances started to skyrocket, you know, because of following close, taking heed, sowing into the anointing, you know, sowing in a time of famine. And God will, I mean, he'll bless you beyond measure, you know, but it's a matter of honor. And that's so very important that we understand and recognize that, you know, you have to give honor to whom honor is due. One of the things the author says, every now and then, it wouldn't hurt to bring an offering to your leader. Give an offering to your pastor. One of the things I always share is that you never want to go before a man of God empty-handed. Always have an offering, you know, a seed. You know, that's so very important. And one of the things the author even talks about, it says, even if it's a leader somewhere, if you're traveling into a country and you're doing ministry somewhere, and if there's another apostolic or prophetic voice or person in that country, he said it wouldn't even hurt. Matter of fact, it's a blessing if you just go and drop off a seed just to show and to reverence and to honor the gift that's in the land. The Queen of Sheba, when she went, you know, before, who was it? Was it David or Solomon? Solomon. She came with an offering. Saul, when he came before Samuel, he says, I have not a gift, but his servant said, we got, you know, so many shekels of silver here. We can go give this to the man of God so he can show us the way that we're supposed to go, you know. And because of the gift, the Bible says your gift will make room for you and bring you before great men. So it's so very important to understand that, you know, that you want to give honor to whom honor is due, because the less is blessed of the better. In other words, when you sow up, the blessing that's on the better comes down upon your life. You know, it's without fail. You know, a lot of times people say, well, I've been doing this, but I haven't seen no results. Don't stop. You know, the Bible says to be not weary and well-doing, for in due season you're going to reap if you faint not. In due season. Amen. And that's what we're talking about. Now what I want to do, I want to get into the seven or six levels of honor. The Bible, our author talks about six different levels of honor. The first one is, number one, we need to honor God. That goes without saying. Proverbs 3:9-10 says, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of thy increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses will burst forth with new wine. We need to honor the Lord with our substance, with our first fruit. Because what you're doing, you're giving God back to what he's already blessed you with. You know, he says, you know, it's so very important that we honor God. If we're not tithing, we're not honoring God. If we're not sowing seed, we're not honoring God. There's no way your barns and your storehouses can be filled if you're not tithing or if you're not sowing into the anointing. You must always honor God with our substance, the first fruits of our labor. God is deserving of all of our honor because he is the principal life source. He is life, and life comes from him. So it's so very important that we honor God. But also, too, you can honor God through your conduct. And that's so very important as ambassadors for Christ. So not everybody may be, quote, a pastor or a teacher, or you may not know that you might be called into a particular area, but the Bible says that we all are ambassadors. When we, in our daily lives, by living morally and upright, you know, the author talks about that's a total disgrace to God when there's moral failures in ministry, when there's homosexuality in the pulpit, where there's wife swapping among ministers. That's a total disgrace and dishonor towards God. You cannot be blessed. You cannot prosper when you operate in that level of immoral conduct, because as a minister or as an ambassador, you represent Christ. You represent the some people, the only Christ they see is the Christ in you. And that's one of the things the Lord shared with me years ago. He said, son, he said, people are always watching you. You know, so you want to be an example. Paul says to follow me as I follow Christ. And see, that's one thing that's such a blessing by having an apostolic leader. Apostle has set the standard high, you know, in every aspect of our lives. You know, he makes the comment sometimes, say, sons, if y'all mess up, I'll break your leg. In other words, what he's saying is, I'm expecting moral excellence out of you. Because when you operate in that area or that level of integrity, you cannot help but give glory to God and honor God. The author says, I just want to read exactly what he has in the book. He said, there should be no sexual affairs among the fivefold ministry gifts. There should be no homosexual activities. There should be no wife swapping. No blatant sex sins or no inappropriate conduct for those in ministry. Anytime you have this level of dishonor, there is a harvest of catastrophe that will be reaped. This is total dishonor to God. So he's telling us, you know, this is something as ambassadors or ministers, we just cannot do. And one of the things I've learned, too, is Satan wants to do anything he can to discredit and to bring a reproach to the name of Jesus and to the body of Christ. You know, he'll bring in people who are influenced by him to tempt you. You know, I'm giving you an example. A good friend of mine, we started out in ministry together. I met him through a campus ministry, met his wife, and I watched his ministry grow. And I'll never forget, I actually introduced him to Apostle some 15 or 20 years ago, might have been a little longer than that, at a Kenneth Hagin meeting in Birmingham, Alabama. And then on another occasion, my wife and I was at his church. We were traveling and we stopped off there. And while we were there, I'll never forget, you know, he introduced me to a lady in the church who he described as his spiritual advisor. And the minute he said that, I'm saying, now, why does he need a spiritual advisor? And why does she have to be a woman? You know, and I just kind of left it alone. 2-3 years later, my wife and I, we passed back through there. No, it wasn't. It was just me and another friend of mine. And I went to his house and I saw his wife on the front porch. And I asked her, where's Derek? That was his name, or is his name. And she looked at me and says, me and Derek, we divorced. I said, what? And she said, yeah. I said, remember the lady he introduced you to? He said, yeah, well, she advised him right out of our marriage, you know. And, you know, and you know, church went downhill. I mean, things, you know, but I remembered Apostle speaking to him. And I'm saying this because this is the importance of having a covering and having a spiritual father. We're going to talk about that later. Where somebody can speak into your life and direct you in the right path. Because I remember, you know, watching his church grow. And I mean, he had 2,500 members. This was back in the early 1992 or whatever. And I really felt kind of, said, man, I must not be doing anything. I said, we started out in a campus ministry. Now he's got a flourishing ministry. But what the enemy will do, he will cause you to grow and people will come, you know, but if you don't have a good solid foundation morally, spiritually, you know, and a covering, he'll cause the Bible says little foxes will spoil the vine, and he'll find a weakness in ministry, a weakness, and he'll just eat at it like a cancer until eventually he'll destroy your years of ministry, you know, destroy the integrity. And then all of a sudden now people who probably would want to serve God because they see a man of God not operating in the right level of integrity, they walk away. And I've seen that happen so many times. And that's why I thank God for Apostle and for his teaching and for, you know, everything with him is above board. His life is an open book. You know, there's nothing done that you can't account for, because it's all open. You know, and he lets you know that this is the Lord's doing, and that's such a blessing. Let me move on, because my time is moving out. The second level of honor is honoring the apostles and prophets, or the apostolic. In Matthew 13 and 57, it says, we talked about this before, it says, and they were offended in him. But Jesus said unto them, a prophet is without honor, save in his own country and in his own house. We must honor the apostolic source that God has placed in our midst, because they are the foundational pillars of the church, apostles and prophets, Jesus himself being the chief cornerstone, and the apostolic must be honored. Amen. The reason many countries never get the benefit of the great gifts that God has given that country is because they don't show honor to the apostolic or the prophetic gift that God has blessed them with. Anytime a country is not prospering, it's because they're not honoring their spiritual leaders that God has placed in them. I've known times where churches didn't give proper honor to the man of God that God had graced them with, and God would actually uproot him into another city to where he's properly honored. You know, Apostle said something today, and I don't know exactly the exact words, but he said, you know, if people don't want it, I'm not going to waste my time putting it out, you know, in essence, you know, because what I have is too valuable, and I'm not wasting, you know. The Bible says don't cast your pearls to swine or somebody who don't know what to do with it, you know. So that's why we as those that's following Apostle in the school of ministry, churches that's following through LTMA, that's why it's so important for us to get serious about bringing the apostolic and being a part of this apostolic government and flowing in apostolic under apostolic leadership, because that's God's heart. You know, in the New Testament, and I remember reading it, and I never really looked at it from that facet, but there was never a church in the book of Acts that was started by a pastor. You know, Paul went about teaching and preaching and setting up churches, and he would appoint a Timothy or Titus, you know, or somebody else over that church, and he oversee them. He was like an overseer to make sure that the government was properly, that the teaching was proper, and that everything was flowing according to divine order. And that's the way it should have always been. I mean, now we have churches on every corner, everybody preaching all kind of different gospels, you know, but in honor, and when the apostolic is set up, you honor that apostolic gift and you flow in line. Something I've done for years, and it was just because that was the teaching I was getting. When I would go into the prison, whatever we were taught from the pulpit is what I taught in the prison. You know, I didn't try to teach another gospel or another lesson. You know, the outlines that we were getting when we had word cells was the same outlines, and we still use some of them same outlines today. Simply because, you know, once the pattern is set, you stick with the pattern. You know, that's honor. Because God knows he can trust you, because you're not after your own agenda, but you're following the agenda of the person God placed you under, and that's so very important. All right, so that's honoring the apostolic and the prophetic gift. Let's move on. All right, the third level of honor is honoring fathers. Malachi 1 and 6 says, a son honors his father, and a servant his master. If then I be a father, where is my honor? And if I be a master, where is my fear? Said the Lord of hosts unto you, O priests that despise my name. And he said, wherein have we despised thy name? You despise his name when you're not operating in proper honor. You know, fathers, and when we're talking about fathers, that passage acts as a law of double reference. It's talking about spiritual fathers, but also physical fathers. If a person is a father, they should be honored. Spiritual fathers, matter of fact, there's a scripture. Let me see if I can find it. Might be 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 15, I think it is. Yeah, 1 Corinthians 4 and 15. It says, though they be 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet you have not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten thee through the gospel. Now this is the Apostle Paul speaking. He says, though there be 10,000 instructors, he said, yet you have not many fathers. When you honor fathers, you honor a spiritual father. How can I put this? I can use my own self as illustration when God began to reveal to me that Apostle was my spiritual father. Though I was going to a lot of different ministry revivals or conferences and, you know, going to Atlanta, going to Tulsa, going different places, you know, and you were learning a lot of stuff. And, you know, this camp had was emphasizing on this. This camp was emphasizing on that. And you was getting a lot of information, but wasn't getting no direction in ministry, no vision. No purpose, and somebody speaking into you personally, telling you, thus said the Lord. When I first met Apostle, my wife and I went, sat in the office in the old church, he looked at me, he said, son, he said, you need to be pastored. He said, you have a gift and a calling. He said, but it needs to be nurtured. He says, I'm not asking you to leave your church, but you can come, sit, and glean from my ministry, you know, and I think you'll benefit from it. You know, a spiritual father will put vision on the inside of you, will put direction on the inside of you, purpose on the inside of you. It's not always the person that leads you to the Lord. You know, God, the Bible says, Paul says, one planted, one watered, but God gives the increase. So a lot of people can speak into your life, but a spiritual father is somebody that when they speak, it's pure purpose and direction. It's purpose driven. It actually turns, sometimes it causes you to do an about face and it jerks the slack out of you. You know, if you have a good physical father, whenever I was in the process of doing something I had no business doing, or getting involved with the wrong crowd of people, my physical dad jerked the slack out of me, sat me down and you know, scolded me, whatever it took. But after it was all said and done, I knew that wasn't the way to go. You know, that's a father. A father will work with you and nurture you, and he's getting you ready for manhood or from a man's point of view. No different. A spiritual father is getting you ready for maturity in the things of God so that you can be a benefit and a blessing in ministry and in life. And that's so very important. So it says, going back to my text, as far as fathers, whenever you have a father, okay, well, I'm going to get to that in a minute. I'm getting ahead of myself. Corporately, it is important that we honor fathers. We need to know in a region who God has raised up to be a father, excuse me, and honor them, you know, because God has raised them up in that region to be a father. I'll never forget something the apostle did years ago when a particular minister was under attack and the media and everybody was under attack. I remember him saying that he ended up seeing him somewhere, flagged him down, pulled him over, reached in his pocket, and sold into him, and just told him, thank you for being who you are, you know. when everybody else was doing something another way and being ridiculed and kind of distant himself, he said, no, I want to honor you, you know, because the world will always look at your mistakes, but God looks at the heart and the productivity that you've done over the years. And I've always learned from that, you know, even when a father messes up or gets uncovered by doing something that God didn't ordain them to do, as a son, it's so very important that we cover our fathers. Let me read this here. It says, whenever you have a father that's uncovered or uncovers himself and falls into sin, and the son speaks badly about the uncovering of the father, they open the door to the curse their fathers had initiated to come upon them. The dishonor, the curse, and the sin of iniquity to come upon the son's life. Now, let me kind of expound on that. With Noah and his three sons, okay? One of the sons walked in and saw Noah's nakedness. He was exposed. And instead of him being a covering for his father and covered his father's drunkenness and his nakedness, he went and told his brothers he mocked his father. And instead of protecting and honoring his father, he made a public example or display of him. And what initially happens when you do that, in most cases, the same sin, the same pitfall that happened to the father will happen to the son. I'm gonna give you a real life situation. A good friend of mine, he was a member of a church. He was submitted to a pastor, and that pastor fell into adultery. And immediately he distanced himself from he left the ministry, went home. And I remember him talking about how bad it was. But instead of staying there and covering and undergirding and helping restore his pastor or his man of God, he left, started a church. And I'll never forget, we went by and we visited when he went to the church service. And he began to tell us how, you know, a lot of college young girls were getting saved and their parents were kicking them out of their houses and because of they were getting filled with the Holy Spirit. That's back in the mid-80s, and so it was kind of a new thing, especially if you were coming out of a Baptist tradition. But anyway, he would allow young girls to stay at his house with him and his wife. And my wife and I told him, he said, we don't think that's a good idea. You know, he said, as a pastor, you know, you got a young family, a young wife. You don't need any undue temptation. Didn't listen. Ended up falling because of somebody was there. Him and, you know, but anyway, end up divorcing. Church went one way. I mean, split, you know. But what I saw was a replication of what he ran from instead of covering, you know. The Bible says that the sins of the fathers go down to the first, second, and third generation, you know. And so it's very important that thing is covered and the person is restored, because when you do that, you're saving your own life. That's what the author says. When you help restore a father that might have fallen, you're actually saving your future. Because of that honor, that's so very important. It says, so it goes on and says, so now the son has to take his gift and his anointing and back up to provide a covering for the father so that he saves his father and himself. You know, like I said, that's just, here is another aspect of honor. Let me move on. The fourth level is showing honor to our parents. And we've talked about that previously. In Exodus 20 and 12, it says, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be prolonged upon the earth, upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Ephesians 6 and 2 says, to honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise. Deuteronomy 5 and 16 says, honor thy father and thy mother, as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee, that thy days may be prolonged, and that it may be or go well with thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. So here's three verses that talks about honoring your father, your natural parents, your father and your mother. Very important. Thank you, sir. Very important, because by doing so, your days are going to be prolonged, you know, and it's going to go well with thee. That's just that's a biblical principle. Because of the life that they have given you, now you're honoring them by giving an example. My mom is staying with me now. She's 84 years old. And, you know, whatever she needs, you know, mom, let me know what you need. It's done. You know, it's just being there with her, making sure she's comfortable, making sure she's happy. You know, she likes football. So on Saturdays, her and I sit down and we watch football. Whatever game she wants to watch, you know, sometimes she say, I feel like I want to get a hamburger. I know she don't need a hamburger, but she's 84 years old. Let's go get you a hamburger. You know, just, you know, and she's just delighted, you know. But by doing so, I know I'm obeying scripture, and it brings delight to me to see her happy, you know, honoring, because she gave me life. You know, I'll never forget, and I'm running out of time, but when I was born, or when I was, she was giving birth to me, she had some complications. And the doctor basically told her that you have a choice. I could either save you or I can save your son. And she said, save my son. But by doing so, both our lives got spared. So, I mean, by her giving me life, you know, the least I can do is make her latter years as enjoyable and as restful and peaceful as possible, you know, because I know that there's a blessing, because I'm honoring her because she honored me. Amen. All right. The fifth level of honor is, well, we just talked about that. Well, no, we didn't. Honoring older people. The scripture says in Leviticus 19 and 32, thou shalt rise up before the hoary-headed man, or the white-headed man, and honor the face of the old man, and fear the Lord, for I am the Lord. Whenever an elderly person walks in the room, out of respect, I stand up. I shake their hand. I exalt them for their years. Anytime someone who has years and wisdom, you want to honor that and you want to respect that, because the grace that's on their life that God has blessed them with, by you respecting and honoring them, that grace will come upon you. The life struggles or the life challenges they had that the Lord saw them through, now that grace is going to come upon you. So when you run up against some of them same challenges, that grace that's on you now that was on them is going to propel you and keep you moving forward. It's a spiritual principle. You know, you're honoring someone because of their years and their life that God has blessed them with. And now God is able to propel you to greater heights. My time is really running out. And anytime you dishonor a senior citizen, you are expressing tremendous disrespect for the struggles and the battles that they have gone through, and the grace that had to go through these experiences cannot come upon you. What was a success for them becomes a defeat for you, and a curse for you because of you sowing a seed of dishonor. The last one is honoring the anointing that's on your life. The Bible says, what is man that thou art so mindful of him, and the son of man that thou didst visited him? God has crowned us with glory and honor. And if we don't honor the anointing that God has placed on our life by giving it back to him, the Bible says we actually have, I'm going to make sure I quote it right, we actually begin to operate with beastly instincts. I only have a few seconds left. It said a person who has been anointed with honor and doesn't understand he's been crowned with honor, that man functions with beast. In other words, you're giving over to the flesh. You're giving over to something that God didn't even ordain. You know, you want to honor the anointing. that God has blessed you with. I mean, we all have something that God graced us with, and we want to give it back to God because God has given it to us. Amen. All right. Continue reading in your books, and we'll continue next week. Amen.